Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. Happy Wedding Wednesday. It's another Wednesday and another hour of fun and laughter and, of course, knowledge. If you are just joining us for the first time, this month we are focused on business, starting a family business or a home-based business, and we have had a wonderful guest each week to join us. Our first guest of the year was the Womack Consulting Group. I'm so sorry. I usually have my tea here, and I'm always ready with my tea and fuzzy socks, but today I'm just a little flustered. So Lakeisha Womack was our first guest, and we talked about money matters, and that was a great show. And, of course, last week we had with us the owner and founder of Uniku Jewelry, Ms. Pache, was on with us. If you missed any of the shows, feel free to go into the archives and listen to them. There's tons and tons of wonderful information in there for anybody who's looking to start or just even think about starting a family business. Of course, we continue tonight, and tonight we are talking public relations with Makaysha Dorsey. She is our guest tonight, and we will be talking about You Are Your Brand. But let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Miss Dorsey. I'm going to call her Makaysha, but just for fun, I'm sure she's laughing while she's listening to me right now. Miss Dorsey is wife, mother, motivational speaker, and author. She is the author of a number of books, two being My Best Friend's Brother and The Church House. And I'm a little upset that I did not know this, because I would have liked to have read one or two of those so that I could talk about that a little bit. But tonight, we are on business. We are on business. And, of course, it's going to be a lot of fun because, you know, what can I tell you? We're a silly bunch. We are a silly bunch, and we like to have fun. But tonight she's going to be talking about You Are Your Business, because she is in the public relation business. Let me just go ahead and bring her on and let her tell you about her, and let's get started. Hey, Makaysha.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I am great. So good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, too. You sound all peppy.
Yes, you know, a lot of coffee, and then I just left Caged Fitness, so my heart rate is still up, so I'm kind of on a workout high.
Nice. Endorphins. Go endorphins.
Yes.
No, wonderful. Tell us, you know, we're going to have a great chat tonight, because this is something that I wanted to know a lot more about myself, and I have questions, and we actually met in a group that we were both in, and you opened up the floor to us and said, if you have any questions, just let me know. And my mind filled with too many for me to even, you know, start. I was confused. I was tongue-tied. So I just said, let me just contact her and say, listen, I don't even know where to start. So could you help me out and just and just tell me what public relations is all about? Yes, I have a degree, a business degree, and I read all about it. But it is always best or better, for me at least, to talk to someone who has been involved in it, who knows the ins and outs of it, and can explain it on a level that I understand. So we had our chat, and then I was just like, all right, look, you're just coming on a show. Let's just chalk it up. You're coming on a show, and let's talk about it. So let's jump right in. Tell us a little bit about who you are, and then let's go forward and talk about public relations.
Ooh, well, that's one of the toughest things for a publicist to do. Most of us, we like talking about other people, so the spiel about me will be very brief. My name is Makaysha Dorsey. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I'm a writer, and I'm the owner, the managing partner of Dorsey Group, and we are a boutique public relations firm, and we specialize in Christian and Christian-based businesses. We have represented secular music and secular brands, but for the most part, our client list, they're Christian-based authors, motivational speakers, pastors, small business owners. And what we do is we help filter through the noise and help curate credibility. You know, when you go to a a museum and you have all of this beautiful artwork and you walk into the museum, you don't know what it is. You don't know who painted what, who sculpted what. And the people who walk around, they're curators, and they help you to understand, you know, the public to understand, you know, whatever it is about a painting, about an artist, about the period the piece came in. And with public relations firms, we help the public understand who our clients are and where they come from and what it is they have to offer to the market. And for the most part, it starts with relationships.
I love it. I love that you said that you filter through the noise and curate credibility. You know I'm going to be saying that, right? You know I'm feeling that. I'm just putting that out there right now that I will be saying that. Curating credibility. I love that. Okay.
Right, because if you think about it, when you start a new business, even if you branch off from, say, for instance, you used to be an office manager and you decide to, you've done a great job managing an office and you decide to branch out into being an executive assistant, of course your colleagues know what you're capable of doing, but the people in the public who may need an executive assistant or a virtual assistant firm, they don't know what you can do. So what you do is you pull your messaging together in order to help, I won't say convince people, I would say help others to know who you are, because I don't want to convince you to do anything. When I say, when someone say, oh, I'm going to convince people to do this, no. I don't work on convincing anyone to do anything. What good public relations firms and publicists do, we help you with your message, and that message should compel. Think about when you go somewhere, when you go to church, and there is a very compelling message. You go to the altar, you get prayer, you may go home, you may make a change right then and there. But if someone convinces you to go to the altar, you're not going to have a life change, because mm-hmm. you're doing it because someone pressured you into doing it. I want to compel you to do it.
Nice.
So that's what the essence of good communications is.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I neglected to give out the telephone number at the top of the show. I know we have a lot of listeners that listen via internet, but if you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment for our guest tonight, you can call in at 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let us know that you have a question or a comment, but do wait, you know, give us till at least 10 o'clock. Let's get a good conversation going first, and then press that number 1 if you do have a question, and we are happy to bring you into the conversation, and Keisha will give you some of her best answers. I mean, I think I did read in the bio that you actually, you do like free consulting, like 4 free consultations a week or so.
Yes, and I do that as a means of giving back. One of the things that I find with most business owners, when you're starting out, you can't necessarily afford to put a firm on retainer. So mm-hmm. as a good way for me to build more relationships,
mm-hmm.
I take the time and I offer, you know, tidbits of information, and it's not anything that's cookie cutter that will apply to everyone. When mm-hmm. I do my consultation calls, I give specific information for whomever calls me. So if a music person calls, I'm going to mm-hmm. filter and decide everything that I tell this person is going to be about the music industry. Or if a writer calls, everything is going to be about the writing industry. So that when that person decides that they can't afford someone, they may think of me and say, hey, Makisha spent some time with me on the phone. She gave me good advice, and it worked.
Right.
Imagine what's going to happen when she when I'm on retainer with her. She's going to go
right.
that far beyond. So, and it also helps get back, because some people, they are not ever in the position to hire anyone, but
mm-hmm.
because their businesses are not set up in a way, and all businesses are not set up in a way where they can manage PR. They just mm-hmm. need a little information so they can move forward, and that's what I try to do. I try to be a good business person. I try to have a level of altruism with me where I can help those, and you know what you put out, you receive. So if I'm helping
right.
people, I'm going to receive in the long run.
Well, I'm going to be one of the 4 this week. I'm letting you know right now that I'll call you this week. I'm going to put one of the numbers on my chest tonight. Like, should I be 1, 3, or 4, or 2? I don't know which one, but I'm going to be one of the 4 this week to my listeners. If you're listening, and I guarantee that after this interview or this talk, you're going to want to be one of the 4 to have a free consultation with Mekaysha this week. So just listen up. And get ready, because it's gonna be a race to the phone. You know that, right? It's gonna be a race, and I'll be like, me first, back up. All right, so you know, let's go straight into the topic, which is you are your brand. Let's start there.
Okay, go on.
No, go for it. You are your brand. Talk to me about that.
Well, when I say, a lot of the times, and let's just talk about the publishing industry and authors right now. A lot of the times I watch authors and they're really, really pushing books. And a lot of the times people confuse public relations with advertising. And if I'm trying to sell your product, I need advertising and I need public relations, because the public relations is going to help with the messaging, and I'm going to tell your story. So if I work with you, or you even decide yourself, you know what, I'm going to talk about whatever it is to get people, to compel people to me, to learn more about me. And when I compel people to me, I'm going to build a tribe, or I'm going to build a street team. And in most cases, many people have unofficial street teams. What essentially happens is, if I compel you enough to learn about me and to know my story, and it's a good story and you can relate to it and you may feel like it may help someone, when I tell that story, you're going to tell people about me. And because you've decided that you like me, you're going to buy my product. Think about how many times when you're watching something on TV or you're online and you see someone misbehaving and you decide, you know what, I don't really like her anymore. But when you see her book in the store, you're going to think, you know what, I really don't like her. She has a nasty attitude. I'm not going to buy her book. The same thing works in a positive light. If you like me, you're going to buy my product. Or if you don't have the money to purchase my product, you're going to tell your friends about it who may have the money, and you're going to be a loud speaker for me, because I've impressed you in a way and I've compelled you to follow me or to look to me as an expert in my field or a thought leader. So at that point, you've made a decision on whether or not you like me. When people say a first impression is a lasting impression, I do agree with that. But at the same time, I do believe that you can go in and you can recreate yourself, rework your brand, so that you compel people to you instead of selling people your products, because at the end of the day, you're going to be you for the rest of your life. People grow and change. That's true. However, that book, once you put that first book out and you've exhausted everyone in your circle and your extended circle, what happens is that you're going to go to another product. I mean, if you think about Coca-Cola, they have a ton of different products.
Yes.
But they can cycle those in and out. Coca-Cola is the brand, but we drink Gatorade. We drink everything. We have the Dasani water. We have all of those items, because if I decide right now I'm not drinking soda, I've been drinking Gatorade this week. I can go elsewhere in that brand to get what I need. You have your books on backlist. You're releasing new items. But if you like me, you're going to support me. And that's why I say build yourself as the brand and let your books, your products, your music be an extension of your brand.
I love it. So now when you send out the street team to compel individuals, is there like any hypnotism involved? Does this mean I just can't go out there with like a stopwatch or, you know?
Jedi mind tricks are involved. No. What happens is, think about it. Say, for instance, I think I've heard you talk about your friend tea a couple of times. One of the people, you know, they make the customized teas. You like the product, right?
Yes. Yes. Oh,
like
that's Tea by Tiffany, because she makes these custom blended teas, and they're so yummy. Don't get me started on tea. I am a tea lover. So she makes these custom blended teas, and some of them are like chocolate tasting, or, you know, some of them, I love peppermint and I love fruity teas. So yes, because she makes custom blended teas, I'm always like, I need me a cup of tea before the show to either calm my nerves or to get me peppy, which I really
so
don't
just
do much
think about
by
it.
The
So think about it. You're an unofficial member of her street team because you like her product. And you're telling other people about it. You've talked about it on your show. I've learned about it. I'm going to her website because I love tea. I drink coffee in the morning, tea at night. So because she's impressed you in some way, which in turn encouraged you to buy a product, and now you use the product and you're talking about it, guess what? I'm going to buy some tea from her because I like tea.
Right.
And I have a relationship with you, so you say the tea is good, I'm going to try it.
Right, right.
Straight
okay. Okay. So you know what? I mean, you've introduced a nice little segue into the word relationship. How important is not the relationship that you necessarily have with your buyers, but the relationship that the buyers have with each other and their friends when it comes to being a speaker or a loudspeaker for your product?
Well, it comes down to, again, it goes down to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay attention to Facebook, if you pay attention to Twitter, most of the best-selling authors nowadays, they have some kind of internet presence. If you think about Beyonce and the way that she's approached Twitter, a lot of people don't agree with what the content is in her music, but she bypassed every advertising avenue and just decided, hey, I'm releasing my album at midnight tonight, and she had 800,000 sales.
Mm-hmm.
She gives her core audience what they want. She posts to Twitter. She posts to Instagram. When she meets people in public, she's very nice and to them. So that comes down from her. Of course, everybody talks about Beyonce. I mean, she has a street team full of minions, official and unofficial. But at the end of the day, it comes down to how much she's sharing in a digital world right now. So, of course, that relationship matters. Who can get online and don't even have a hush-hush album, get online, tweet all of their followers, and sell 800,000 units in a week? Nobody can do that, but she built her relationships. And you also have to look at it from the perspective of where you are. A lot of times I've run into, because I work with a lot of different people, I've had clients snub Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, in the internet environment, you have some shows with a lot of listeners, some shows that may have one or two listeners. But if their listeners are your core audience, it shouldn't matter if it's one person listening or five people listening, because Blog Talk Radio is a very social platform. So think about it. The average person on Facebook, because a lot of the times you see the posts come from Facebook, the average person on Facebook has 130 friends. So if, say for instance, tonight you have three people listening live. What if one of those three people who's listening live decides, you know what, I like Makaysha, I'm going to post on my Facebook page. That one person probably has at least 130 friends. And what if I were on here not necessarily talking about my PR firm? What if I was on here talking about one of my books or a speaking engagement I have coming up? One of those three listeners listening to me tonight would tell their friends about it because I've impressed them, and they're going to, that's 130 people who know my name now. You have to be very careful about how you view people, because at the end of the day, relationships make sales. Advertisements don't make sales.
That is a very important point that we try to impress on people all the time. That, you know, sometimes it doesn't really matter your reputation. Your reputation does matter, but how you treat people and then how other people are connected with their following and how they talk about you make a huge difference, because as you pointed out in the beginning, you have a chance, you actually do have a chance to kind of make yourself over and impress someone again, you know, after a first impression. So, nice point. Now you said sharing, you said the word sharing. And I have personally noticed a lot of oversharing on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are managing a person's career or a business, how do you talk to them about what they share, what they do not share, and what impact that makes on their business?
Okay, let's talk about oversharing first.
Ooh, yeah, please.
Let's talk about oversharing first, because one of the things that you have to consider is your audience when you overshare. Sometimes when I see people overshare, I immediately think about Kanye West. He says so much of the wrong thing.
It works for him. Go ahead. Okay.
It works for him.
Okay.
You know, because he gets in the media, he gets the attention. But when you're a normal person who don't necessarily have the reach as Kanye, when every time you get on Facebook or Twitter or even in front of people, you are negative Nancy. Mm-hmm. And you have so much negative, oh, I have a bad headache today. Oh, I'm so, you know, you can't necessarily do that, because one of the things, people want to be enlightened. The economy has been bad. We're starting to see some traction in different areas. But if I'm fired from my job and I turn on Facebook and my favorite author is always complaining about, you know, just, the traffic is so bad, I feel like I'm going to die. I mean, really? That, for me, that's oversharing. But also, you can overshare to a point where you're advertising instead of engaging. Why
yes.
Ask the question. Engage. Don't always advertise. Don't always say, hey, here I am. Look at me. Buy these shoes I'm selling. No. Tell me a story about why you decided to sell the shoes. Or tell me a story about, you know, tell me a story about what I might look like if I put these shoes on. You know, tell me something that will compel me to pay attention to what you're saying, and a byproduct of my relationship is me purchasing something from you. Don't sell it to me all the time, because people are sick of that. You're gonna hit mute, not gonna see anything that's coming from you. And you could have something that's of value to me, but because you've decided you're gonna sell to me all day, every day, I'm not buying it. But let's talk about the real sharing. I know my core audience, a lot of the people that I deal with from Makesha, the writer side, I talk a lot about being a wife. I talk a lot about being a mom. Talk a lot about being a mom of a child with Asperger's syndrome. So when I talk about my day or some of the crazy things my kids say or some of the challenges that we face, I use it as a teaching moment, or I take it as an aha moment for me, because I'm one of those people who believe that if I'm going through it, someone else may be going through it as well. And if I'm going through it and I have a solution, when I post about it, I'm going to give you a solution. And those people, they're the ones who come to read my blog. Those are the people who buy my books. Those are the people who repost when I'm doing something. And another thing is, when you share, don't be selfish and make everything about you. Nobody wants to walk into a room and one person in the room is talking about himself the entire time. Talk about your host. You know, give some good compliments to your host. Give some good compliments to the people in the room. And you have to treat social media just like you would the real world. You know, if I see that Chanel Bacon, she has a book coming out, you know what? I'm going to share that book because I have a relationship with Sean. I know that she writes good books. If I see Bridal Tribe, they're having show guests on. You know what? It's a really good show. I'm going to share that because this is of value to the people who I'm friends with. I'm friends with a lot of readers. So when I come across a good read, I'm going to share that good read. And it comes down to relationships. Now, it's people that I know, I'd probably never buy a book from because they have very bad attitudes. Mm. And if I even see you treat another person wrong, you know what? You don't need my business because you don't respect people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about sharing, don't just make it about you. Make it about other people. I've been blessed and I've had good relationships and great opportunities simply because I'm generous. And when your hand is open, when you give something away, your hand is open so you can receive. That's one of the reasons why I do the free consultations. I put myself in a position to receive.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, see, you know, I feel like pulling out like a tamarind or something and shaking and, you know, and say amen. I'm gonna behave though. I'm gonna behave myself. I love the way that you put it, that, you know, there is a difference between advertising and engaging. And I think at some point we're gonna have to have a longer conversation about that and the differences between, you know, the two. Get deeper into that, because that is probably really, really important to know and understand the difference. It's definitely touching something in me, because I, believe it or not, I really don't like to be on social media. I don't like to be very social. I'm a hermit, you know. I like to be behind the scenes.
Me too.
And, you know, making, yeah, we had that talk. I like to just be behind the scenes and make things happen. So by the time I actually get on Facebook or something like that, if there's crickets going on in my head as to what should I say, what should I talk about, except to tell people what we're currently doing and what we're currently offering. So it's actual work for me to figure out how to engage my audience in something that I'm willing to share or be personal about, or an experience that I'd like to share with them. So I know that I'm going to admit it. I have to work on that. I have to work on being more engaging.
But I'm also in groups with you. You're engaging in groups. So that also helps you with your show when you're engaging with groups. I watch and I pay attention to how you promote the show, how you promote Bridal Tribe Network. I don't feel like I'm being advertised to, simply because you're giving me, it's almost like you're giving me information that I need anyway. I need information about how to manage my finances. You know, I'm a crafter, and my husband keeps saying, Acacia, you have way too much stuff in here. Can you please do something with it? So, of course, the interview with Pache Burson is a, you know, it's something that I need, because I have all of these craft items. I've sold jewelry before, but I may need to figure out a way to get rid of some of the excess. I have a room full of craft items, everything from beads to decorating, you know, wedding decorations,
yes,
banquet decorations, because, of course, doing PR, I do events from time to time. I probably do about a wedding a year. So, listen, it gives me ideas on how I can get some of these items out of my house and make some money doing it. So when you provide information that people can use like you're doing, people are going to flock to you. People are going to listen to the show because, you know what, I need to know about PR. I need to know how to manage my money. You know, I need to know how to take this crafting and baking that I'm doing. A lot of women are bakers.
Yes.
Think about, everybody can't bake. That's a talent.
And it is a gift.
So listening to someone like Pache, you get ideas. I've watched her build her jewelry company, and I'm so impressed, because she's really doing the work. She's being creative, and I know she's doing other things too. It's not just about the jewelry. It's the lifestyle. It's about the emotional needs behind it. And it's freeing for her as well, because it's something that she enjoys doing, and it comes across in her products. And she has great products as well. So as a person who likes to craft, it's a way to inspire me to sell my wares. So for a magazine, you're in a unique position, because you don't necessarily have to say, hey, I'm over here. You say, hey, I have Lakeisha Womack on my show this week, and she's going to tell you how to manage your money.
Right. Okay.
You've given them something they need.
True. I do like to have the guests come on and do all the talking. I do get the inbox messages and complaints from people who do know me. They go, you're the one who needs to do more talking. Why do you always have some? I'm like, but that's what I do. I'm the connectress. I like to connect people.
I like that, the connectress.
I'm the connectress. Let me connect people with other people and let that flow that way. I prefer, like I said, to be behind the scenes, but I still feel convicted by what you said about, you know, being engaging and not just advertising. So I have to look into that for myself. I'm going to look into it.
We'll talk now about it.
Yes, let's do that. Now, I do see that we have a couple of calls on hold. People have questions or they want to talk to you. But before we do that, I want to ask one question. When it comes to public relations, what do you look for in a company? What do you look for as a good fit for your company?
The first thing, in my opinion, a good fit for your company is whether or not there's some synergy. The word has been so overused over the past couple of years, but when you have a synergistic relationship between a client and a PR firm, that really goes to show you if you're going to be taken care of. But I've had clients where our personalities clash so bad, I could do great work for them, but our personalities didn't line up. So when you go to a PR firm, one of the things you want to do is make sure you're going to a firm that's interviewing you as well, because I get a lot of phone calls who from people who say, you know what, I need a publicist. I sing gospel music, but our personalities don't match. So I can't do good work for you because it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. And another thing that you would look for when you're choosing a publicist is I like to look at what's been accomplished, but you also look at what they're telling you, because I've worked with interns who had a better grasp on clients than people who had 15, 20 years experience. And it's not necessarily because the person with the 15, 20 years experience, they couldn't do the work, but the intern had a better grasp of the client's goals than the person with all of the experience. So the intern was able to execute a little bit better. So you want to look at what's been accomplished by said PR firm, but you also want to look at, is this company going to listen to the goals that I've set for myself and for my company, or for my products, and are they going to help me execute those goals? Because, like I said, sometimes you can get somebody fresh out of college who can take you far, and other times you may need somebody with 15, 20 years of experience to take you far. You have to look for what fits for you, and don't always make that fit based on finances. If you have a little money, don't look and say, hey, you know, $800 is too much for me. It's too much to pay for PR. No, it doesn't match your budget. So what you have to sit down and do is decide, should I put someone on retainer or should I pay someone to have a consultation with me beyond a 30-minute consultation? You know what? I can afford to pay you for 2 hours, and we have a call once a month, and I execute everything you do. I just need to know what to do. Because sometimes people look at, oh, I can't pay somebody this amount of money to do this. It's not that you shouldn't pay $800 a month. You have to look at your own personal budget and decide, you know what, I know that because I only have $300 a month, I can call and get a couple of hours worth of support. She can tell me what to do. How can this person help me meet my needs? And that's what you really have to look for when choosing a PR firm. It comes down to whether or not you can have a synergistic relationship. Do our personalities match or clash? Is this person listening to what I need, and will this person be professional and execute on my behalf? Because sometimes, and I will tell you this, your PR firm cannot be a yes man, because I have a lot of clients who I've run across, a lot of people who want to snub, who don't understand, I have people still asking to go on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And when I tell them they can't get on the Oprah Winfrey Show, they're like, well, you don't know what you're doing, honey. She retired. She don't have the Oprah Winfrey Show. So I can't get you on there. And I can't get you on the Oprah Winfrey Show for $5 either. So those types of things that you have to consider. And if, you know, those are the types of things that you have to consider when choosing a PR firm, because there are so many variables. And look at, and get, if you need to, get some recommendations, or see if you can get a 30-minute consultation and see if what they tell you during that that consultation, if it's something that you can apply and see results from.
Okay, now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. We are talking with Mikaysha Dorsey tonight about public relations. You are your brand. And for the first half hour of the show, she really kind of she brought up some really key points. She said that public relations is supposed to filter through the noise and curate credibility. That's one of the things that you want to be able to do when it comes to your brand. You want to curate credibility so that people will be able to come to you, because of course, part of the plan for business is to build a clientele. She also said that you can have your relationships that you build will help with your messaging and to get loudspeakers, your street team, people who want to talk about you, talk about what you're doing, who really like what you're doing, so that it's free advertisement to get people talking about you. And, of course, one of my favorite points tonight is make sure that you're not just advertising, but you're also engaging. I am so stuck on that one right there. I'm going to be, like, up all night trying to figure out how I can be better at engaging the audiences that I have on all of my social networks. Now, we do have a caller on hold with the telephone number ending in 7199. I'm going to bring you in right now, and you are on with Tribal Wisdom. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, this is Crystal.
Hi, Crystal. How are you?
I am wonderful. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Did you have a question or comment for our guest tonight, or for me, or what's going
yes,
on? Talk to us.
Yes, I actually do. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, in reference to Makaysha, how do you handle clients or authors, which are clients as well, who are reluctant to pay on a timely basis?
Well, because we work together, you know, I know. one of the things that I try to do is you work on a retainer, and you set goals for that month. And sometimes, say for instance, let's talk about paying on the retainer with a couple of different types of clients. Say for instance, you've had a client for a year. They've paid on time every month, and they hit a spell where they can't do. For the most part, I'm one of those people. I'll continue to work with you because I have faith that you're going to pay me, because if you've been with me for a year and you've paid on time and you call and let me know that you're having a hard time paying, I'll kind of work with you and keep filling that out until I get to the point where I'm like, you know what, you're not going to pay. But then there are those people who jump in feet first, who, although you try to explain to them what PR is, what you're trying to get done, they want something for nothing. And at that point, you have to decide what type of person you're dealing with. Do I sever the relationship, or do I send them a letter and go, look, you're supposed to pay me every month on the 5th. I need to be paid on the 5th. By the close of business. And at that point, they should be able to tell you, do you think the client is not paying because they don't have the money, or they're not making payment a priority, or they don't even see the value of PR? Because a lot of people don't see the value of PR, although they've been told they need representation.
I see. Now, do you have a structured template when you need to sever those ties for those reluctant, or we'll just say, trying to get something for nothing, client? I mean,
well,
because sometimes I do know that you have to kind of word it based on the individual or the client or what have you. However, but do you have a basic template where going in that you can adjust?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? That's good from a publicist side and from the client side, because I do believe, like they say, good neighbors, good fences make good neighbors. I think good contracts make greater relationships. And in my contract, you have an out clause and I have an out clause. You give me a 30-day notice, or I'll give you a 30-day notice, or if the contract has been breached, we can walk away from it. And in my contract, I outline what's free, what isn't. I outline, you know, as a PR firm, most of the time you're getting your copy for free, and every other line item costs. You know, it costs for me to pay a graphic designer to help you do a flyer, or to design the cover to your book, or to design an event flyer. In most cases, those are passed on to the client, and I think it's good to have those contracts to ensure great relationships. So I'll email you a copy of the of a contract, so that you'll have a way to exit when you enter into those relationships.
That makes good sense. Makes very good sense. and I know that you probably have other callers. I did have one other question, but since you guys more than likely have other callers.
No, Crystal, go right ahead. The floor is yours right now.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. So how do you handle, and it's you probably have already answered it, but how do you handle clients who are reluctant to accept your exposure guidelines but want the national exposure? You mentioned a client who, well, you made a reference to clients who want to be on Oprah Winfrey show, but how do you handle those who don't want to accept the guidance that you give them?
Well, one of the things that I know that I like to do is I listen to the goals that the client set, but I also like to help that client have realistic expectations. It's highly unlikely that someone's going to pay you $50 a month and be able to have the revenue to even do a campaign to get you on Oprah's radar or on Queen Latifah's radar, because it takes work. And at the same time, you can't give your relationships away for free, because with PR professionals, everything we do is based on relationships. You know, it's just like with Ella Curry. She has access to every book club in the country. She's not just going to hand that over to someone because that's how she earns her living. That's how. She's not going to give you that list simply because, you know what, if I give you this list, what am I going to do? So you have to, one, know the relationships that you have. Two, if the person is reluctant and you say, you know what, we can start here based on your budget, but I can't promise you the world with a $2 budget. So
that makes sense.
it makes
sense to me. It makes sense to you. But from the client standpoint, do you have instances where you have clients who don't understand that, regardless of how gently you present it to them? Are they still fighting
you? They probably need a notice. They probably need that notice, because if you hire and another thing people have to understand, a public relations person is not a personal assistant. If you're hiring a PR person, they're not a person who should just sit there and execute blindlessly what you're saying, because if you know PR, you can get yourself in front of others. If you're hiring a professional, take advantage of the advice that you're getting based on the goals that you set for yourself. It would defeat the purpose if you are let's take an example on this. Say, for instance, you have a Christian, but this Christian, they write for the urban genre.
Okay.
You know, me taking you, when I say urban erotica genre, I'm a Christian, but I write erotica.
Okay.
You can't go to Ty Moody's
and
website.
Hopefully they're writing on under a pseudonym.
Hopefully, but you can't go to Ty Webben or Paulette Harper Johnson and think you're going to post on their blog because you're posting something that is contrary to what they teach. You have to, just because Ty has a lot of followers, her demographic, the people that she reach, they're not the people who are going to buy your book. You're going to have to go to the people who buy Zane's or buy Zane Presents. You can't go just because you know Ty has a lot of followers. Ty's not going to put you on her website. So you have to be willing as a client to listen, to say, you know what? Clients have to learn the difference between fame and being a thought leader. Let's talk about famous people. You have Beyonce. You have Kim Kardashian. In the entertainment industry, Beyonce is a thought leader. Kim Kardashian, although she's done some things, she's pretty much just famous. I think she's a good businesswoman. Her mom is extremely smart, but she's famous for almost no reason.
I want to interrupt you on that part. Okay. Now, I get the Beyonce because she does have some degree of talent, and she is offering something. As far as KK, I'm still saying her mother is the forefront and doing all that PR and all that representation for her, because basically Kim is not really offering any nothing talented. So, but she's been managed well. She's been PR'd well. So how
right, that's the
point?
Fame.
Let's go away from Beyonce, because we already know her and how she's gotten where she's gotten. Because, you know, you do have, sometimes I think you should have some degree of talent. Contrary to, you know, if you like her music, if you don't, but she still has something to offer. Okay, how about marketing, KK? That, do you give her mother credit for having that ability to market her that well?
Yes, because she's
considering
she
has no talent. Okay.
Right, and that's where you get to decide where you're looking at thought leaders versus fame. When you're dealing with fame, that's why they say 15 minutes of fame. Beyonce, it's a career involved. I think Kim, she's evolved in certain areas. I won't totally discredit her on anything because I think she's had a little longevity, but I do think Beyonce is going to probably be on stage gyrating until she's 70. Hey, Tina Turner. You know, because there's
a thought leader.
But what a lot of the times when up and coming people, clients or writers or singers, they look at the fame aspect instead of building a solid foundation, and they don't look at what is best for them from a career perspective. That's why we talk about building the brand. I can't build an erotic brand at Ty Webben or on a Paulette Harper Johnson book tour, because Paulette, she does pretty much Christian. So it's those types of things that you have to be, clients have to be willing to listen, and sometimes you just have to say, you know what, you're not a good fit, I can't work with you, I would like your money, but it's not going to work out.
Now, do you think it's also helpful, you know, we'll say with the KK issue, do you also think it's helpful because in our era right now, what society is accepting right now, it is what is really making a PR gold mine for some people, because they're pushing brands that really aren't really offering anything other than you're there because what is that thing that they have? I know it as well as I know my own name. I don't like it. Oh, reality TV. That's what it is.
Right, but see, this is the thing. The thing about everything about advertising and the media is about giving the consumer any product, giving the consumer what they want. Kim Kardashian, she has her own sect of people who follow and like what she's done. She's a beautiful young lady. She has a very good fashion mind. She's had her mom to help her with her messaging, and she's done a really, really good job at that. But it comes down to supply and demand as well. So someone like Kim Kardashian, her mom has been able to take it because her mom's a marketing genius. She's good at PR. She's good at messaging, and she's good at brand management. So when you have a situation like that and your mom takes advantage and learns how to message you and she does a good job at it, of course it's going to be easy for Kim Kardashian. But you also have to look at the financial aspect. It's easy to put the proper messaging behind the Kim Kardashian. We all know how she kind of got tossed into the limelight. But her mom already had the money to put behind the machine in order to take your mind off of, you know, the videotape and all of that. They had the money behind it. So for us, those of us who aren't working with that Kardashian money or that Jenner money, we have to start and build our foundation the right way.
Okay.
Can that be done? Quickly, can that be done with a up and coming writer?
Yes, it can. If you look at people like a Zane, the industry was so different when she started. But when you look at like a Rashonda Tate Billingsley, when you look at when you look at even Pat Tucker, when you look at people like that, and even, let me think, the young lady who wrote the 50 Shades of Grey, she used the environment that she was in order to help market herself. You have to work hard. You just can't decide, I'm going to give this to a publicist and help them take over. Rashonda's had publicists, but Rashonda's going to sell a book. She's gonna find a way, no matter what she's talking about, to bring that book up. Even Anne Rice, I pay attention to her on Facebook a lot. A lot of the time, Beckett, her assistant, does a lot of her posts, but he helps to be her voice and to engage for her, and she also shares things that are of interest to her. She's engaging her market. Yes, Anne, if social media is necessary for Anne Rice, one of the best writers in modern history. I mean, really? Anne Rice, I mean, the vampire queen. You know, other authors have to understand that you have to put the work in with the movies that's been made off of her books. If she has the wherewithal to get on Facebook and engage, or to make sure that her personal assistant is engaging, as authors, we need to make sure that we're doing the same thing, because, again, it's all about engaging. You don't always have to have a publicist on retainer to do that, but you have to be smart about what you do and when you do it.
All right. Great. Well, thank you, Crystal, for calling in. We're so happy that you were listening on the show tonight. I'm going to go ahead and backtrack to some other two things that you were saying earlier. And thank you for that comparison between the two different people in the entertainment business and the difference between a thought leader and what was the other term that you used?
15 minutes of fame.
Okay, so thought leader and fame. That there's a difference between being a thought leader and being someone who's just after fame. Now, back to business, because you've said everything that you need to say about that, and we might actually get back to that, but you were talking about setting goals, because the individuals that we have listening to the show tonight are, they might be in entertainment, they might be, I know some are in the wedding business, there are some who are authors, there are different industries that are thinking about hiring a PR firm or a PR person. When you talk about setting goals, if you have to set the goals before you talk to a PR person, what are we talking about? What are we setting? Are we talking about numbers? Are we saying that I want to have 12,000 likes on my fan page by the end of the year? You know, what are we talking about when we say you need to set goals?
Okay. But I think goal setting can go in two different places. I can set a goal of 12,000 Facebook likes for my fan page by the end of the year. But let's consider in budget constraints, time constraints. I have to look at all of those things and set a realistic goal. There's a difference in me setting a goal and saying, I want to be on Oprah. It's not attainable because she's not on TV. The Oprah Winfrey Show is no longer on TV. Can't do that. Okay, now, so I would have to then go back at that goal. Okay, how can I either get in front of Oprah or find a way to be a guest on one of the own talk
network
shows or reality shows or something like that? So you can set goals, but you also have to do enough research to set realistic goals. So some of the goals that you take to your potential PR firm, you may think you may look at it as a goal, but when you get to that PR agency, they're going to go, you know what, this is not necessarily a realistic goal based on your budget and time constraints. So let's reexamine this and fix it this way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we look at goal setting.
Okay. All right. So then it's okay just to kind of put down what you think your goals are, and by the time you get to the PR firm, they will be able to refashion it for you so that you can understand what your goals should be based on what industry you're in. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, excellent. That's very helpful. Let's talk about the duties of a PR person, because you said building a campaign. You said a few things that people should know what happens behind the scenes at a PR firm based on who you're working with and what their budget is. So if someone comes to you with a budget and they say, these are my goals, how do you structure the duties of a PR firm to achieve the goals? What are the duties of the PR firm?
It depends on what you hire the firm for, because there are certain clients that are pretty much retainer clients. For example, a Billy Dorsey. We work with him year-round to help him get media coverage, to provide business advice, business management, to help him pull together proposals for different events, to help him decide, you know, who he's going to talk to when he goes to the Grammys, or an Angela Alfred Richards, who's out in Houston as well. She's a client that we have year-round because we're constantly creating a buzz because she's constantly performing. Now, what about these project-based? In most cases, unless an author has a book out, you don't need a publicist all the time. You may need to plan for 8 months or 6 months out of the year where you need a publicist, if you're just doing a product. But some people, they need continuous support. So what you decide is, based on the budget, what area of support am I going to provide? Am I going to provide complete management of social media, or are we going to, based on your budget, we'll have to co-manage it, because you don't have enough money to pay me 20 hours a month to manage everything, whereas you may be able to pay me 5 hours a month to help you set goals and make different plans and help you come up with post ideas and an editorial calendar that you may have to flesh out yourself, because you don't have enough money for me to work your project for 20 hours a month. And that's okay. It comes down to, under the scope of PR,
Acacia,
what you actually need and afford. Uh-huh.
Okay. Oh, no, you zoned out for a second. We couldn't hear you. So I thought we lost you for
okay.
a second, but I hear you. But you were saying.
You have to set those goals based on what you can afford. The what the PR firm will do for you is what's based on, because there have been people who can pay $5,000 or $6,000 a month, and during that month we're pursuing national media, we're building websites, we're doing all of this. Everybody can't afford to do that. So you may look and say, you know what, this PR firm is going to help me on a consulting basis. I'm going to give them $250 a month. We're going to talk once a month, and they're going to help me decide what I need to do based on my goals. Because I can't afford to pay them to do it for me, I can have consultations and get the advice and use me and my team to execute everything myself.
And great.
That's how you mm-hmm. work that out.
Okay. So when you are approaching a PR firm, you have to already know, based on your budget, whether or not you want to use them per project, or if this is going to be an ongoing yearly retainer, and you can either have them take care of everything for you if it's within your budget, or if it's going to be per project, they can actually help you set the goals and possibly come up with a few strategies in order for you to achieve the goal, and then you and your team have to go and execute.
Exactly, because at the end of the day, you can only do what your budget allows, and you don't. I've gotten calls. Well, this girl said she can do this for me for $75 a month. Okay, if she's gonna work 10 hours for you for $75 a month, good for her. Go to her. I might even hire her if she do a good job. But you have to set realistic expectations and not have people telling you a bunch of you have to set the realistic expectations, and you have to listen to what you're being told so that you can get a good deal. You know, you have to decide in that contract what you need and if the person can meet that need, and if your budget can even accomplish. Sometimes you have to decide, you know what, instead of me getting 17,000 likes on Facebook over the next year, you know what, let's see if I can increase it by 750 over the next year, because I don't have a lot of money to and a lot of time to do all of this. So let's set these goals and find a way to get to it.
Okay. Now, if you're listening in, once again, we are talking public relations with Acacia Dorsey, and we are just kind of breaking down what a public relations firm is supposed to do, what you should look for, the type of budget that you're working with, and what your goals are. Did we miss anything when it comes to discussing what is good about a public relations firm or what we should be looking for in a public relations firm?
But all firms offer different services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know some PR firms that they only handle crisis management.
Mm-hmm.
I know of some public relations firms, they only handle social media. It just depends on, you have to go to a person who can provide what you need. And you also, you know, you may need media relations. You may actually need media training. You may need copywriting services. One of the things that a lot of people don't know is that many PR firms, they offer copywriting services simply because we spend a lot of time on messaging. We have to be good writers. We have to be good communicators because we're curating credibility. So in order for us to do that, we have to know how to use our words. And if you need a ghostwriter, if you need a white paper, if you need specs for something that you've invented, a lot of the times if you find a PR firm in the right industry, they can help you get those things done with the right buzzwords, with even the right word count, because sometimes descriptions in certain industries may only need to be 10 to 15 words, and if you get someone who's too wordy, like your auntie or your mama, to write it, they might write 100 words when your industry standard is 15 words. So you look for people who are in the industry. For me, I do the publishing industry, books, film, music. That's it.
Right.
I don't really go outside of that. I do know business management on certain aspects, and I can tell other types of companies, technology, construction, and intermodal transportation companies some things that they can do in order to help their brand. But I specialize in the publishing industry.
Nice. So, you know what, our hour has been over, but we're just having a good conversation. So, one of the points that we need to think about is making sure that when we do find a PR firm, that we look for someone within the industry that we're working in, because sometimes you just think that some people think that a PR firm is a PR firm. I would not know where to begin to find specific PR firms, but that takes research. I'm going to say that just takes some research and some doing. Once we are able to narrow down different PR firms, we can seek out consultations with each of them. If they're giving a free consultation to see whether or not, as you said, we have synergy.
Synergy is good.
If we choose that person or that firm that we have synergy with, we then can just bring them our goals and just basically start a conversation. It doesn't sound like there's anything concrete that can happen, especially if you're not as knowledgeable about how a PR firm works. So we just can bring what our goals are until they can help us make it realistic.
Right. And that's what you want to do. When you go to a PR firm, you talk about your goals, you talk about your products, you talk about what new releases. I've had people who had no business going to a PR firm. Because so many people know that I write, they'll come to me and go, you know what, I need a PR firm because I'm about to write a book. You're about to write a book? You don't have an outline? Nope. What's your book about? I don't know yet. I have no way of even helping you to go anywhere because you don't even know who you are. Well, I like football and I like baseball, but I also like going to church, but I've decided that I'm going to write about devil worship in Brooksville, Mississippi. I say, what? Say, huh? You have to be able to go from point A to point B, and this is one thing that I try to explain to anyone who talks to me. A lot of people have navigation systems in their car or on their phone. You might know where you want to go, but in order for that navigation system to work, it has to know where you are. You have to be able to look at yourself, look at your career, look at your business, look at your product, and know exactly where you are so that you can put a roadmap to where you want to be. If you don't know where you are, think about people who get lost in the woods. Mm-hmm. They know that they want to go home, but because they have no idea of where they are, they don't know which direction to go in to get home. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people won't make the decision to evaluate where they are right now. If you know that you have 2 Facebook followers and you need 30,000 today, you need 30,000 by February 14th in order to be able to have a solid launch on your new chocolate line, it may not happen if you only got $20.
Right.
It's not gonna work. And that's why you have to really be able to gauge when you set those goals. You really have to know where you are so that you can put a map in place, because when you get your public relations plan, that has to be in place, because if you're here, we can use your plan to take you to there. It's a roadmap. It's a roadmap to your goal. So it's a roadmap to your destination. Know where you are so you'll know where you're going. And if your firm helps you, if a firm helps you identify where you are, they can help you set a realistic expectation about where you're going.
I love it. I love it. I think that's a perfect ending to the show right there. I'm not even going to say anything more after that. I just want to thank Mikesha Dorsey for being on Tribal Wisdom tonight and really, really sharing her wisdom, not just from the viewpoint of someone searching out a public relations firm, but also for other public relations firms who are looking to glean from her wisdom. Excellent, excellent show tonight. Mikesha, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, anytime. Now, I just want to make sure that you guys know where to find Mikesha before we close everything down. If you're on Facebook, I believe it's, is it the Dorsey Group?
Dorsey Group, yes.
Okay, I have already actually put the link into the event tonight. If you are part of the event, you will see the link. Please click on it, follow it, visit and like her page. Go ahead and ask her questions and be engaging on her page. Please do try to be one of the 4 free consultations that she does give every week. She has a lot of knowledge that she's willing to share with you. She deals with authors, Christian-based authors, musicians, and public speakers. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. And for writing, visit www.mikeshadorsey.com. On Twitter, she is at Mikesha, capital M-A-K-A-S-H-A. And Facebook.com, she's also Mikesha. So please, please, you want to definitely connect with her. Oh, wait, she also has another Twitter account for the PR firm. So it's at DGPRWire. And the same thing for Facebook. Am I on the right track here, Mikesha?
Yes, you are. Everything has to be the same for branding purposes.
Yes, I see that. I think I've been following that rule. So that's one thing that I did get right. Everything is Bridal Tribe on social networking. So listen, do not waste any time. Make sure you visit one of her social media networks and engage with her. She's open to talking with you and to giving you a consultation. And as you can hear, based on the show, she does a wonderful, wonderful job. Of course, did you say you did not want devil worshippers from Minnesota to be calling you?
Probably not. It's just okay. Kind of slick, you know. I have to have passion about your project, too.
Okay. I just wanted, so all the, you know, devil worshippers from Minnesota, please do not call her. She will not be able to help you. Again, thanks to you all for tuning in tonight. We will be continuing our business chat for next week. Next week is our last week, and I believe his name is Lyman Montgomery. Will be coming on talking about finding your passionate position in the job that you are looking for. Please do not miss that show. You know that I am Cynthia Williamson. This is Tribal Wisdom. We are Bridal Tribe. We are a company about love, beauty, wedding and marriage fund. We are about cultivating lasting relationships, including business relationships, and we're so glad that you came on and listened tonight. We love you. We'll see you next week.